podcast. We're going to talk about the first few days of fall camp. We're also going to bring Andrew on and talk about recruiting. David, I know it's only been a few days of camp, but just what are your early impressions of what you've seen? And we don't get to see everything, but just what are some early things that you've noticed?
I think the first thing you notice off the bat with the team going into the 2016 season is just how much they look like they're in much better condition, much better shape this year. That was definitely an emphasis by Coach Richt this offseason, is just getting guys in better shape, and they, by all accounts, they've all kind of leaned out. So they've kind of maintained their body weight from what they were last year, but they've lowered their body fat percentages across the board, really. And I can say you definitely notice it when you look at them, you know, when you get up close to them like we do, interviewing them. So they definitely look like they're in much better shape. I would say, like, a guy I noticed it right off the bat was Joseph Yerby, the running back. And he said last year he played at 16% body fat, which is too high for a running back. I mean, a running back at Miami should never really be that high with his body fat. And he said now he's down to 9%. And he says he feels like he's in much better shape. He doesn't get tired or sluggish in practice as easily. And he feels like he's quicker. So I think that is a big step in the right direction for the team this year. And I think we'll see kind of results on the field.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned Joseph Yerby. You know, I think a guy that stands out to me is a guy like Malcolm Lewis, who over the summer I talked to. And I think the numbers, and I know I posted, but I think the numbers were like he was at 14% before, which seemed high at for his wide receiver. And then I think he's down around 8-9, like you said, with Yerby. So noticeable difference. And he says he feels lighter, moving faster and quicker and things like that. And David, he's not been a huge impact guy throughout his career. You know, he had the 1 year with, I think, about 25 catches, but, you know, not a factor last year. But, you know, he's a guy that's trying to make an impact, and the quickness and speed and things like that have been some of the things that have held him back. And I even asked him that, you know, that seems like it, you know, from my perspective, and he agreed, and he thought that, you know, this would be better for him yards after catch. And what was interesting was, you know, over the weekend, Mark Richt mentioned him as a guy that's kind of kind of producing and kind of surprise guy. And he said he just likes what he's doing. And we're not expecting a huge year out of Malcolm.
No.
I'm not trying to say that, but, you know,
he'll play.
Yeah, he'll definitely have to play, you know, and maybe he's a guy that will contribute partly because of these changes that have been made physically.
Malcolm's a steady guy. So you know what you're going to get on each snap with Malcolm. He's going to do his job perfectly. He's going to be in the right spot. He might not be the most explosive playmaker Miami has at their skill positions, but he's a guy you can count on, and that's very valuable to a lot of coaches, and Mark Richt clearly likes that about him. I do think, I mean, you talked about Malcolm being out of shape maybe the last couple of years. I think also, too, I mean, he had a horrific injury freshman year. And I think, you know, he also, it took a couple years, I think, to get back from that, too. I mean, it was a real serious injury. So, you know, I think this year we might see the Malcolm that we expected to see when he came into Miami.
Yeah. And again, kind of going back, we've not seen a lot. You know, we got to see a lot that first day. But what we're hearing about who's stepping up, and I think if you were to ask, you know, who's kind of the shine the most in these first few days, I think Adrian Colbert, without a doubt,
yeah,
is the guy, because, you know, he's made a couple interceptions, praised by Mark Richt and also Manny Diaz. You know, they really like him. And Adrian, to me, you know, I got to meet him over the summer at one of these community events, talk with him for a while, and I got to know him a little bit. And he just seemed like a, you know, very mature and seems ready to go. And those are the things you're seeing now, David. He's 6'2". He's making that transition, the transfer from Texas. He was a safety there and didn't play much the last couple of years, but now he's a playing corner, and it looks like he could be, or if you were to say now, I would say he is their top corner.
Yeah, I mean, by all accounts, it seems like almost every practice, every day, it seems like he's making one or two picks every practice, which has not been a common occurrence the last few fall camps. But yeah, he seems to be the big playmaker out there this early part of fall camp, and Miami needs him to be this guy. Miami needs him to maybe be that number one cornerback. I do think this defense likes bigger corners on the outside, and also they need corners that feel comfortable kind of covering that deep ball, have that speed to cover the deep ball, because there will be times when they bring those safeties up and show pressure, show blitzes with the safeties, and they'll leave those corners on an island. And so far, I think they've been pleased with the way that Colbert has reacted in those situations.
Two things with Colbert that I noticed over the weekend, just he met with the media, and two things. So he intercepted Brad Kaya during 7-on-7, and Brad came out and he said, you know, I threw an interception, it won't happen again. And that message was relayed to Colbert, and Colbert heard it and rolled his eyes immediately, and he didn't laugh or kind of joke, maybe something we've seen in the past at UM recently. No, he rolled his eyes and just kind of like, that's the work that I put in, you know, essentially meaning plan on doing it again.
And David, competing,
very competitive, confident in his abilities. He also said he feels like he can run with anybody in the country. This is like a 6'2 guy with track speed. And I don't know who he picked off on the next day or the next couple of days, but he had another interception, and he might have got Brad again. So definitely off to a good start, and a guy that has confidence. One of his teammates talked about his competitiveness, and someone asked if he's talking trash out there, and he kind of laughed and like, yeah, you know, he's kind of that guy, it sounds like. So in a good way, you know, I think this defense needs, I think this team needs that kind of mentality. And hopefully he's a guy that continues to emerge in fall camp.
I think so. Adrian Colbert seems to be emerging as a big corner Miami can count on. Like I touched on earlier, I think they want big corners on the outside. So I think they hope Sheldrick Redwine can maybe lock down that other spot on the other side. And that would maybe slide Corn Elder in at nickel. I asked cornerbacks coach Mike Rumpf if that was kind of possible. And he said, yeah, you know, we're definitely looking at Corn at nickel. He feels like he can play that spot because he's a good enough tackler. And he's quick enough to cover those slot guys. And he's also he really praised Corn's ball skills, which is nothing new. I mean, Corn is very good at picking off passes if he has a chance. So I guess just what are your thoughts on maybe that nickel spot? Who do you like?
Well, yeah, no, I like Corn there. And then you talked about his ball skills, and it seems like he has a little bit more freedom in that spot to either get his hands on balls or make different reads, or he just might be able to be a little bit more active that way. And definitely, if they want to go with speed or if they want to go with size on the outside, you know, Colbert, again, Redwine's got to develop. It sounds like Colbert's there or pretty close to what they want. So if they can get Redwine there, then it would just make sense. So, but if not, you know, Corn's certainly going to be used there. There's another guy in the nickel that I think that they will take a serious look at, and that's Jaquan Johnson, a safety. And Jaquan, I talked to him about playing nickel, and he's been working there a little bit more. And Jaquan would be a better tackler than Corn at that spot. So it would give him a different look there. But Jaquan can also cover a little bit, and he's just a guy that I'm excited about for the future. And I think he's going to be in the rotation. It's a sophomore season. There's two senior safeties right now. But I think it's going to be a nice rotation with the three of them. And Jaquan was telling me that he only knew one of the safety positions in the spring, and then he worked really hard over the summer, and now he knows both spots, like the two senior safeties. So I think it is going to be a three-man rotation. And yeah, if he moves into nickel as well, I just think you're going to see him on the field quite a bit.
Jaquan's a definite young guy to keep an eye on. He's a guy who just finds a way to make plays. He gets his hands on balls, or he intercepts passes. He's just a playmaker out there, and you find ways to get guys like that on the field. But yeah, I guess one thing I want to ask you, Chris, is maybe a little early camp injury thing to watch, and it isn't major. It's just a little muscle tweak as far as we know, but freshman linebacker Michael Pinckney, who's working with the first team at weak side linebacker, has been held out of a couple of practices with a little minor muscle tweak. I'm concerned from the standpoint of Miami really has no room for error, I guess, at linebacker. They're very thin there. And I think they really need those top three linebackers, which would be Pinckney, Shaq Quarterman, and Jermaine Grace. And after that, I think it's a pretty big drop. So how concerned, I guess, are you about maybe Pinckney's minor injuries? Am I making something out of nothing, or is it something to watch?
No, I think for me that there's two issues that kind of concern me with him. First off, is just him as an individual, as a young player. Again, he showed signs in the spring ball, but he still needs his reps. You know, he is only a freshman, and the thing is, if this does linger a little bit, and I asked Mark Rick about it, it was just like, you know, how is it? And he thinks it's minor, but the thing is, he's been there on the bike a few days, and you know, if it's going to be continuing throughout fall camp, I think that's a concern for his development, and he needs to get out there and be ready and get these game experience going these first couple games before the gauntlet there in October. But the other thing is, you mentioned that's the other concern is just the depth. You know, if it's not, if it's not Pinckney, then who is it? And it, you know, on the other side, you know, Jermaine Grace, we don't know his status for the early part of the season. He could be facing a suspension. So you're talking about two guys that could be potential or projected starters that might not be, you know, essentially ready to go. And we'll see how Pinckney, he could shake this thing off.
Yeah, but it could be small.
Yeah, and he could definitely be fine. And it's just a preventative thing. But still, you want him out there. And again, the depth behind them is what is why there is a concern.
So with Pinckney out during these practices, it's been Jamie Gordonier working at weak side. I think most fans would expect it to be Darian Owens, who sustained a serious knee injury last year, was a starter last year, and was held out the rest of the year because of that knee injury. From the little bit we've seen of Owens at this point through practice, I would say it's been a little rough watching him. I think, you know, he was injured, so he was working his way back from that injury, but I think he's a lot heavier than he was before the injury. He doesn't move quite as well. And it just generally looks like he's not really trusting the knee yet. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I just don't think he's moving quite as well as you'd like. And again, we're not seeing a ton out there, but we have seen him in one-on-ones, and we have seen him move around a little bit at that spot. And just, yeah, like you said, if he's either it's two things. It's either he's just plain not moving very well, or he's not trusting. It's one or the other, because it's certainly something.
Yeah.
And we'll see how this thing goes throughout fall camp, and maybe it is something that just kind of gets better. But, you know, I saw him over the summer at these community events, and I noticed something. He wasn't, you know, even stretching like with the rest of the guys, or wasn't moving it. He wasn't moving at 100% right then. And I thought, I told you when I got back from it, was just kind of alarming that it's, you know, still a thing, and at least something to be aware of. And certainly that's what we're seeing now, because it's not at 100%. He's not moving at 100% right now.
So I know one guy we were looking at going into fall camp, just wondering where he would be at the start of fall camp, is running back Mark Walton. You know, he had some issues he had to address during the summer, or deal with during the summer, and we kind of wondered where that would leave him going into the season. Well, you know, through the first few practices of camp, it definitely appears that he's the number one back. You know, and I guess I agree with that. What are your kind of just thoughts on Walton?
Yeah, I think with that, and again, the splits were, you know, Joe got over 1,000 yards last year, and Mark was under 500. But, and I don't know how this is going to go this year in terms of percentages. I think Joe's certainly in the mix, but right now it definitely looks like Mark will be their lead back. You know, and I say that because of what we've heard from them, the way they talk, and he definitely looks a little bit better, you know, slightly better in drills, the way he moves. Maybe just needed that freshman year under his belt. And we'll see how it goes, but I think the coaching staff gives Walton a little bit of an edge at this point, and we'll see how they produce. Because, David, we saw it last year. It wasn't close. Joe was clearly the better running back, and Mark struggled, and we talked about his yards per carry. It certainly wasn't good enough. It seemed like each and every week. So Mark's got to correct that. He can't just look good in drills, and it'll show on the field. But I think right now Mark's got a little bit of an edge.
And I do think Mark will get plenty of opportunities. I think Joe Yearby will get plenty of opportunities. And I do think Gus Edwards, too, will definitely get some carries, too. And, you know, one thing I said to you, Chris, just, you know, when we were talking amongst ourselves was, you know, let's see what Joe Yearby can do this year, too. Because it seems like every year kind of maybe we or people just count against him, don't really believe in him as much as maybe we should. And Joe seems to always find a way to rise and kind of produce. He just finds a way to produce. So, you know, maybe he's able to put it together again this year and be the guy again this year. Who knows?
Yeah, and certainly things we're saying, he's feeling. I mean, he sees who's getting those first reps, and he sees where he is on the depth chart, and he knows what's being said about it. Even with the coaches, you know, he knows. He knows he feels like he has something to prove, you know, new coaching staff that, he sees it too. I certainly believe that, and like you said, we'll see how he does.
What are your thoughts on just, we've seen him move around, Marquez Williams, the new fullback? He spoke today.
Interesting story coming from Division Two. Just what are your thoughts on what you've seen from him?
You know, Marquez is a guy that is very interesting. So he's 5'10", 280. For those that don't know, so he coming out of Athens, Georgia, wasn't recruited. Mark Richt said he didn't know who he was, and then goes to Mars Hill, red shirts, plays 3 years there, and then all of a sudden ends up at Miami as a scholarship guy. Has 1 season left. And what's interesting, just the fullback position in general. You know, we've seen the college football going away from that, but they like what they've seen in Marquez. But Marquez, you know, even when he said he's not really expecting a huge role in the offense in terms of carries and things like that, but you know, it shows that the team clearly wants to go in this I formation and throw a fullback in, and they want to utilize that in the offense, or else they wouldn't have gone to the depths that they did to go get him. So for people that, you know, you can see on the site, but power clean 381, squats 570. You know, he is
Very
the
strong,
strongest
squatty
guy on the team.
guy.
Yeah, so. You know, he's 280, you know, and he moves well, I guess, for 280, but you know, he's don't expect him to carry the ball a lot
No.
or anything like that. And but you know, he's a guy, and it's something that they don't have on the team. You know, the other fullback, Gage Batten, has been dealing with an injury all fall, and you know, and you know, he wasn't utilized that much last year, so they needed a guy, and this is what they're gonna go with. And
I kind of like it. I think it brings a physical identity to the offense, and that's something that's been missing recently, I think. And one thing that safety Rayshon Jenkins said the first day of practice was, against this offense, this Mark Richt offense, you better bring your big boy pads, because Mark Richt likes to pound the ball, and he'll come right at you. And you know, that was one of the first things Mark Richt said when he got the job was, I'm going to bring the fullback back. So I think it's going to be a good thing for the offense, particularly in short yardage, red zone, which is an area this offense has struggled in general. So I'm excited to see what Marquez can do in terms of opening up some runs for the backs. And yeah, I think it was a good move by Rick.
And also, David, I think those running back, you know, especially with Joe and Mark, I think they will benefit, you know, I think at times, you know, and clearly you can't use the full, you're not going to use the fullback in every play, but
No.
both those guys can read off the blocks well, and I think that'll help them carry the ball at times. And yeah, you mentioned obviously short yardage situation, so it's definitely good. David, I want to ask you about tight ends, because it's interesting to see people's reaction on our website there on the boards with, you know, the Chris Herndon seems like a
Sure.
fan favorite in terms of his comparison to David Njoku, who we both are very high on.
Yeah.
I think Njoku's very skilled and athletic. You know, you watch it and you've seen the drills. We put some videos on the site and whatnot, but it seems like there is a love for Chris Herndon. Why do you think that is, and what do you see from him? What have you seen?
I think Chris is more of a traditional tight end. He's a better blocker than David. He's probably a little more of a physical runner in terms of yards after the catch. But David is just going to be a guy who impacts the offense in the passing game. He will probably be the second leading receiver this year in terms of yards. He can really run. He's that rare tight end who can pick up yards after the catch, and he can score. So David Njoku has special upside, whereas Chris Herndon is, I think he's very good in his own right, but he doesn't come close to the upside of Njoku.
And I think, yeah, and you mentioned the running ability. The thing about it is too, though, but we said this when we were talking before we started the podcast, but Chris is a lot closer to David as an overall tight end comparatively to the third slot there at tight end was Sanders Dobert. So Chris is definitely going to be on the field quite a bit.
Both of
And
them will be.
in fall camp, we're seeing him. He seems like he opens up most drills as the top tight end. So they clearly like him.
I think Chris is good.
Yeah, no, and he's definitely better than probably what you expected, because out of high school his senior year, I don't know if he had 10 catches. You know, it was one of those years where it didn't utilize him and maybe played some receiver. It just didn't, he didn't
I
produce
think
like
he's
that, but
grown a little since high school.
yeah.
He's put on weight well, and he runs really well for his size. I think he would be the number one tight end on most teams, but Miami has David Njoku, who's probably one of the top five freaks at the position in the country.
And I think maybe fans haven't quite seen him yet. You know, last year,
At
close to
the end of the
400 yards.
year.
Yeah, so, and he had his moments, you know, the
Yeah.
big catch and whatnot. I think it was against Virginia. But anyways, close to 400 yards, you know, and, you know, the things at the end of the season, David, you remember how, you know, how it panned out, you know, with the coaching change and the whole thing. So maybe the microscope wasn't on him, but maybe because we've seen so much of him, he's just developed, and
Well, I think
I think he's going to
too,
have a big year, like you said.
Chris Herndon was very good in the spring
Spring
game.
game.
The week before that was a scrimmage up at Oxbridge Academy in Palm Beach County, and David Njoku was one of the stars of that scrimmage. He had a run and catch for like a 40-yard touchdown where he pulled away from like Jamal Carter and Rayshon Jenkins. So, you know, he showed his special ability to run in that scrimmage, and you know, it wasn't televised, so not everyone saw that scrimmage.
And I think that play is what sticks in my mind in terms of his potential for the season. I think you're going to see
Yeah.
him on these nice crossing patterns, you know, 15, 20 yards down the field, crossing across the middle, catch and run, and
Right.
run by guys. I think you're going to see that this year. You know, I think that's what he's going to bring to the offense. And David, we've mentioned this before on a podcast, is just we've not seen it yet, but I would not be surprised to see him out wide a little bit just because they only have seven receivers. On scholarship that'll be ready for the season, and they're going to need something, or maybe these freshmen aren't quite ready, or even if they are, you know, you're still counting on seven, and
Right.
some of those seven haven't produced. So I think you might see David moved out a little bit. You
Yes.
maybe leave Chris at tight end, maybe you bring in Standish or even a Michael Irvin Jr. there if you
I
need a
think we
second tight
will
end. But
see two tight ends on the field a lot this year. And I think that's wise to do because I think that's their best offense. I think you put two receivers on the outside, Njoku in the slot, and then maybe Herndon on the line somewhere.
so we definitely want to get into recruiting in a little bit here, but you want to, is there some other things you want to talk about? Well, again, we're going to do these once a week, and we can always hit on different topics, and there's so many guys to talk about, but we haven't talked about the defensive line. We haven't talked about the offensive line.
What
You
about
know,
O-line?
O-line, you know, it's going to be interesting. And I think we're going to see it shake up as, you know, as it progresses, you know, as fall camp progresses, but you bring back six guys that started, I think, at least seven games last
Right.
year. So that somebody's out, you know,
Right.
that started a lot. And I think we've already seen a little bit. You know, they moved Alex Gall up recently into Casey McDermott's spot at left guard. And I think, you know, I've talked to Casey. I recognize that he was taking snaps under center during one drill. So, and that's not something he's played at UM, but he's working on that. And just if they need him, but also I think, you know, just because he wants to be ready, if they want to move him to center and just shuffle things around, they're going to try to figure out the best five. And what makes it interesting is we've talked about this too. You don't see this just natural tackle position
Right.
locked up. So you're trying to mix and match sides and balance out the line as much as possible.
Right. What would you say about just their body types, how they look this year compared to last year?
Well, I do see lean, but it's confusing because Trevor Darling was there the other day,
Yeah.
and he's only shed a few
He
percent
doesn't
off.
look that much different
No,
compared to
but
the other guys.
right, but even still, he still felt like just kind of maybe maturing a little bit. But yeah,
Yeah.
he's certainly not your prototypical body shape for a left tackle.
Right. I
But
see it like with KC. He's
sure, he's
reshaped
definitely.
it. I would even say Alex Gall looks slimmer. And then I think Sonny Odagwu, too. I mean, I think he ballooned a little in the spring with him being out and recovering from an
What
off-season
about that,
surgery.
Danny Isadora?
Yeah, I think he's
Sure.
shed some, probably 10, 15 pounds. And really, we'll see that with this unit in the fourth quarter because last year there were so many penalties by them in the fourth quarter, whether it's false starts or holdings. I just feel like there was tons of mental lapses, and I think it was due to fatigue. I think those guys were just too big and too tired.
So we'll get real quick on quarterbacks. Obviously, the number two position is up in the air.
Yeah.
Malik
It looks
Evans.
like going into camp, everyone kind of thought Evan would be the number two guy. But I think after a few practices, it seems like Malik
Malik's
is
there.
kind of being the number two guy right now.
Right.
I would say, like, Malik is not necessarily locking down the job. They're all inconsistent.
Yeah, and Rick has said, this could go to the end, the
Yeah.
final 10 days before it's start of the season. So he's not, decision could come, late, and he said he feels fine with it. And really, if all goes well, you're not really going to see much of these guys throughout the season. But
Yeah.
ideally, you want one of those guys to emerge, and that has not happened yet.
I think, like Malik, he's never played in a true pro style offense. And he admitted that. He said, he really struggles with the footwork when it comes to dropping back under center. And so that's the one thing really holding him back.
Yeah, so like I said, there's going to be plenty more coming on, as things develop, as practices go on. There was the big stuff with recruiting over the weekend with the South Florida High School Media Day. We'll get into that. Andrew was there. Andrew and I were at a midnight practice. So fall practices start for high schools. But Andrew, we got Andrew Ivins on here. Andrew, I want to get your take on the recent Miami commit with Bradley Jennings. Just your thoughts on him and what does that mean for recruiting in Miami?
Well, I mean, ever since I kind of came on board with you guys, it seems like Bradley Jennings was a prospect that the coaches really wanted. And, I had a chance to talk to him before he went public with his commitment. And the thing that really he said that stood out was he just felt like a priority ever since Mark Richt and kind of the rest of the coaching staff arrived there. But he's a guy who I think can do a lot of different things. And I wouldn't be surprised if Miami's done at linebacker. This is a guy that Florida State really wanted. I know there's some kind of talk out there that the Seminoles might have moved on, but it seems like Jennings was kind of Miami's guy from the start, and to pull a Florida State legacy out of Jacksonville, I think that kind of says a lot.
Yeah, I mean, Miami doesn't really pull legacy guys from Florida States or Florida, those type of schools. Do you feel like this is kind of like a statement commitment in some ways?
I would definitely think so. I mean, when you look at it, he came to the Paradise camp, and obviously they picked up three kids right then and there that day. But, Mark Richt went on the radio and said that there was a few different silent commits. And from everything I was told, Jennings Jr. was kind of one of those guys. But I think it's definitely a statement. I mean, there's a ton of energy right now in Coral Gables, and we all saw it at that event. And Bradley Jennings, I mean, that's a guy they wanted. And for them to go in and kind of sell, the Hurricanes brand and what they're kind of expecting, and with Manny Diaz and the SEC defense, that's what a lot of kids keep saying. I think it's a statement. Like you said, I mean, how often do you beat a legacy type guy? And obviously, Jennings Jad had worked with or had played or had a previous relationship with Manny Diaz. So I think it says a lot.
Andrew, this media day thing, and it's something David and I have been to, weren't able to make it this year with practice and whatnot, but just can you explain what it was about? And maybe I know you did the insider piece on our site, but maybe some of the top storylines just top things that came out of that.
Well, I mean, it was a marathon day. I think I talked to probably 80 kids in about 12 hours, but there was a lot of top Miami kind of targets there. Obviously, Trajan Bandy was one of them. Christopher Henderson, who's committed, was another. It was just, we sat in a room and we had a chance to get a lot of face time with these kids. And I know you guys both have dealt with prospects. It's always good to get them kind of in that one-on-one setting. But in terms of top storylines, Trajan Bandy named Miami his leader. I think we all know kind of where he's leaning. He says a decision can be coming here soon. My crystal ball right now is obviously on the Hurricanes. But some of the other ones, Navon Donaldson, the top 247 offensive tackle commit, he says he's going to take a few different visits. I kind of like where Miami stands there. I think he just wants to look around. Jordan Wright, the defensive end out of Dillard. Interesting recruitment kind of with him. Says he's going to take official visits to Syracuse. But he's going to be in town for the Florida State game. So I think that was another big takeaway for me. And then I think the thing that really stood out to me is a lot of the 2018 kids kind of were excited about just kind of Mark Richt being there. And a lot of them had been on campus, guys like Xavier Williams, the five-star composite athlete at Chaminade. So I think it overall, after talking to so many different guys, it was just a positive takeaway and some good energy there. I guess pro-Hurricane energy.
Does it seem like I mean, this shouldn't be surprising, I guess, but does it seem like already that Florida State game is shaping up to be a big recruiting event for Miami this year?
I think definitely. I mean, when you look at the schedule, I think they'll definitely get some guys on campus for the Florida A&M game and the Florida Atlantic game, but it seems like the game that's already been penciled in as, hey, if a big shot down in the Tri-County area, you're going to be at that game. And I mean, I'm expecting, I don't know, 50 kids to be there. It'll be interesting to see how many official visits are. I mean, some kid committed to Florida State on Sunday, said he was going to be there, and Miami didn't even really want to host him. So I think that kind of just is a testament
Sure.
to how many guys want to get there.
I guess one guy I want to ask you about that was there too, Andrew, is Mike Harley. Wide receiver out of St. Thomas. Miami seems to maybe be sniffing around there a little bit. What did you take away from your talk with him? And what are your thoughts on him as a player?
I think the headline I wrote is Miami's flirting with Harley, and he's kind of flirting back. Disclaimer, I'm a huge Harley fan. After watching him at the Paradise Camp and then seeing what I did online from him at the Friday Night Lights, I think he's a stud. I think he's really good. And with Rodney Scott now decommitted from Miami and the Hurricanes looking for a few different receivers in the class, I think that's a guy they might make a move on. I know the big knock on him is his size. I mean, he's not a big kid. But I think, David, you said it to me maybe last week. I mean, he can get open. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I put out my mock class, I think, what was it, 2 weeks ago, and I had him in there. So it'll be interesting.
Andrew, we talked quite a bit when we were at that practice at Columbus there at midnight last week. And it's so intriguing when you watch these guys. I mean, for people that can't remember, but just, you mentioned Trajan Bandy, but CJ Henderson, Josh Jobe. I mean, you're talking about three premier guys. And we talked to Coach Merritt afterwards, and I was kind of talking to him about defense. He's like, all right, we're going to run cover zero and make you beat us. But it's very impressive that a school will have those three guys, and Miami certainly would like all three. I'm just so big on Bandy, and I think he's such a difference maker. And we saw kind of, he's such a leader there. Those other guys might have different physical tools, but Trajan's like, he's the guy. He's their leader. Just your impressions of them, and you got to talk with those guys too, and just kind of where do you think Miami stands? And Jobe is a 2018, but do you see something where Miami could get all three, or do you think it's or do you have an opinion on those three with Mike?
Well, I think you said it best, and I know we talked at that practice, but when you look at all those three, Josh Jobe, Trajan Bandy, and Christopher Henderson, they're all three completely different kids. Like, yeah, they're all in the secondary. Yeah, they're all defensive backs, but I think they each bring something different to the table. Trajan, another guy who people are always going to knock his size. Yeah, he's 5'9", whatever, but I think that kid's a gamer. I could see him coming in early to whatever program he goes to, maybe being in that nickel. Play him close to the line of scrimmage. I know you were impressed with his size. And then Christopher Henderson, I mean, you look at him, I don't want to just put it like this, but he's just a sexy prospect in terms of he's got that size at 6'3". I mean, he's ripped and he's got plenty of speed. And then Josh, he's another guy who is the same thing as Chris. I mean, the sky's the limit for him. And I think Miami's doing a really good job. I mean, they were all out at practice on Thursday. They said the plan is to get back there soon. I think kind of Mark Richt has zeroed in on Columbus, and he doesn't want to lose those guys. So I wouldn't be surprised if all three of them ended up at Miami. And I think they're all huge gets if they can pull that off.
I know Florida was threatening Miami to flip Chris Henderson, CJ Henderson this summer. Do you feel like things have kind of smoothed over there, Andrew? And is Henderson locked into Miami now?
Yeah, the weird thing, it's kind of hard to get a read on Christopher or CJ. I keep meaning to ask him what his actual name is. I've seen him like three times this week, and I still need to figure out exactly what he wants to go by. But yeah, Florida, they sent their track coaches in for an in-home visit. He was at Friday Night Lights, and I know there was a lot of smoke out there that that was the day he was going to kind of flip, but he didn't. And I think Miami's back in the driver's seat for him. I think he was wearing Florida, or I'm sorry, Miami gloves at that midnight practice. spoke to him on Saturday at the Miami Dolphins media event, and he says he's locked in. I mean, I think he's a guy at South Florida at the end of the day that he's going to take some official visits, but Miami's doing a real good job of telling him, hey, we want you, we have a need for you, and obviously they need cornerbacks, and he's a guy that just the upside is there.
You mentioned Trajan Bandy might be making a decision soon. It's kind of putting you on the spot, Andrew, but is anyone else, do you have your eye on any other prospects that might be making a decision soon that Miami fans should know?
Well, now you're really putting me on the spot. I got to think about this. obviously, Jennings Jr., I had him in the class. I think if an official offer letter came for Mike Hartley, I would not be surprised if he kind of flipped on the spot. So those would be two. Jordan Wright, the defensive end. I think Miami has more traction with him than they do with Owen Carney, the three-star defensive end out of Miami Central. So I would say it's difficult. Now you're really putting me on the spot here. Devontae Smith would be a guy to look out with in a few weeks on August 15th. I still think Alabama might be the pick there, but I keep hearing positive things for the Hurricanes. I think I put out there that he followed Brad Kai on Twitter, so you can read into that all you want. So we'll see. We'll see.
Andrew, anything else that came out of Media Day there? You mentioned 80 guys, and I know we've only touched on a few, and you know how fans are. They want as many names as possible. Is there any quick things that you can go through just kind of real quick with maybe some of these other guys to watch for?
Mark Richards, Amon Richards' brother, 2019 kid out of Wellington. His only offer right now is obviously Miami, but I think he's a guy that they definitely will get if they want him. They worked him out at safety there in June. Very impressive type kid. I really liked him. The other talk that I kind of heard, Amari Carter wasn't there. He actually had to work that day, but I talked to a lot of his teammates and his coaches. And I've been kind of hitting at this for a while now. Obviously, I came from covering Notre Dame, and this is a Notre Dame-Miami battle. But I think Miami is really trending up for Amari Carter. I'm getting close to putting in that crystal ball for him. So that was another takeaway kind of for me. I think those would be the big takeaways.
So, yeah, I think that's about it. Andrew, I know we could talk forever. But again, we're going to do this once a week, and we'll check back in with you. Tons of great information there. And you could, you know, for people that only listen to the podcast, be sure to check out the website. Plenty of stuff from Andrew with recruiting. David and I have been hitting up fall camp. Again, plenty of stuff there on the site. You know, follow us on Twitter, @InsideU. David's on, Andrew's on as well. But definitely thanks for everyone. Andrew, definitely good talking to you. We'll talk to you soon. David, we'll talk to you later also.
Yeah, take care.
Thanks for having me, guys.